This is real news. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute.
Joining Real News now is my colleague from the School of Journalism and Communication, the University of Oregon's Andrew De Vigal, and up at our Portland campus, where he is the director of our Agora Center. And I suppose, Andrew, if you give us a just quick version of what the Agora Center does, then that'll help put into context why I've asked you to join Real News. What is it?
Sure. So thank you very much. First off, Peter, for this invitation to have this conversation. So thank you, and pleased to be here. As Peter noted, I'm the director of the Agora Journalism Center at U of O, which is housed within the School of Journalism and Communication. And what it is why we exist, is we're creating the forum for the future of local news and civic health in Oregon and beyond.
And that is right to the point of our Real News. What is it? And you work, I know, because we're colleagues and we keep in touch closely on how collaboration and engagement can profit journalism and hence the populace. How can collaboration and engagement help find real news and isolate the public from propaganda, misinformation, disinformation?
Well, I think it's first important to kind of define what we mean by engagement, right? I mean, I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are when I say engagement. Obviously, there's things that harkens back from decades past of what participatory journalism is. I'd be curious of how you define it of late.
Yeah, well, of late and historically, I find myself more and more shying from the modifiers, whether it's investigative journalism or collaboration journalism or foreign correspondence journalism. I'm deferring more and more to journalism. And if journalism is practiced properly, and to me, that means seeking information that is presented to a public in a manner that is clear, well-sourced, balanced, and informed from thorough research, then we don't need the modifiers. It's journalism.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm thank you for bringing that up. I would say the same thing around this notion of engaged journalism, or as some circles are now calling it again, right? It's ever evolving. These modifiers is these community centered journalism, and I'm kind of drawn more into that because, as you were pointing out, this idea of seeking information, to me, that's the question, right? Like, who's seeking, why they're seeking. So it's less, and you bring in this notion of collaboration. So it's less about trying to figure out ourselves as journalists what it is. Not to say that that's not important. I think that's very important, especially around the notion of investigative journalism. But when we're thinking about what information community needs, I think that's part of the seeking. Is how do we seek the information needs of communities so that we can help identify what those are and to actually fill those information gaps for the communities, right?
And then marry that to clarity, fairness, and accuracy.
That's right.
I believe then we have a pretty good formula. So if we're relatively in the same neighborhood regarding these definitions, then do they help us, and can you help us figure out how to stay away from those who are attempting, often successfully, manipulating the audience, the public, the news Sure. consumers with disinformation, misinformation, overt propaganda, lies?
And I think it goes back to this needs question, because I think we definitely spend, especially our industry, spends so much of our attention on arguing about truths, right? I mean, not facts, but truths, which we know there's multiple truths out there based on your life experience. But we don't spend enough time, and we are asking about the needs question. Because if we can kind of get at the nut of what the needs are. It's less about, well, what is the truth around that? It's really pursuing the facts around those information needs. So I think in some ways, if we can, again, distract ourselves from paying too much attention to the debate around truth and less neglecting on the needs question, then we can start building in this feedback loop with the communities we're serving.
So we've got two types of needs, perhaps in the most general sense. We live in Oregon, and we now suffer from these devastating fires due to climate change. There's a very specific news need. You need to know if it's time for you to flee the scene. And that's different than the kind of manipulate, I think, I'm asking you because we're looking for your expertise. That's different from the kind of manipulation that goes on with political news and social news, and even news such as vaccine disinformation, which can be life or death. But it's much harder to manipulate, I would suggest, the news of a fire, because you have the fire department with its information, and then you've got the smoke coming over the hill and the flames in the Douglas firs that are telling the person who is on the receiving end of the news, yes, that's true, it's time to flee. So what about that more amorphous kind of news, the political, the social, and to our current era, the vaccine?
Sure. I mean, that harkens back to this idea of why journalism exists, right? Provide citizens, and if we're lifting off from the API's definition, of providing citizens with the information they need to make a best possible decision about their lives, it goes back to, again, addressing, but even by that statement, we make an assumption of what that information needs are. So yes, if we're, that's part of the challenge where I think some of the bad actors, if you will, that are providing more political and very controversial and oftentimes misinformation and providing that, then it goes back to the onus of establishing that relationship from journalists to communities to make sure that what we're providing is something that they feel is not just trusted, but it's something we're actually listening to them.
So maybe there's a parallel even with policing. And if you know the cop on the beat and he lives in the neighborhood and eats at your luncheonette, it's a very different situation than if he comes flying in from Sacramento to Oregon. And the same thing with the journalist. If your kids go to school with the reporter for the local paper and you see her at a PTA meeting, that's very different than somebody reporting via telephone from Austin, Texas.
Oh, that's right. No, absolutely. The whole policing model that you're thinking about is again, the idea of community policing is the same idea of community journalism. Like the people who are telling the stories of the community, I think it's better served if they're from the community, right? Because they know the players, they know what people are talking about, and they know the debates that's happening over dinner tables. So yeah, the more that we can ingrain, the more we can get journalists hired within the community that we're reporting on and serving, then I think it just builds in that trust. There's a built-in trust because there's a recognizable figure, as opposed to our often knee-jerk, perhaps routine approaches of parachuting into a community. Right?
Yeah, so again, and that speaks exactly to the kind of correction that we need when there is intentional misinformation, disinformation, and propaganda out there. If that person is local, they have to see the people they're reporting to. And if they are one of these bad actors you're talking about, they're going to get busted immediately because their public is going to say, you were wrong. And that's very different than some voice coming over a radio speaker that's disembodied and from far away.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. That's absolutely correct. Right. Right. The closer you are to the community, I think it's much more in service to the community. That's not foolproof. And I think we've seen examples of bad actors that are from the community and really leveraging the clickbaits, right, to try to create some emotional reaction to increase their clickability or their staying power within the story. And because I think I think in us humans are, we tend to, are drawn to that kind of that clickbait energy of being emotional and being reactive to it. But it doesn't also, at the end of the day, solve the problems of when do I leave my neighborhood if the fire's too close? Or worse, when my house is built burned down, where can I go? Like, all of those information needs to be provided by trusted news sources from the community.
Absolutely. And as long as we're sticking to definitions, you cited the API a while back, and tell those who are not familiar with the letters.
Yes, the American Press Institute. So they do have a report out there called Journalism Essentials, an excellent resource, and really gives a really deep framework of what role journalism should be playing within our democracy.
Colleague Andrew DeVigal from the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication campus in Oregon, the director of the Agora Center. As always, thank you for your contribution, and specifically here to Real News. What is it, as part of the offerings of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute?
It's been a pleasure, Professor Laufer. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Real News. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. Join us again for more on Real News.